The dog in the manger. A dog lay in a manger, and by his growling and snapping prevented the oxen from eating the hay which had been placed for them.
"What a selfish dog," said one of them to his companions. "He cannot eat the hay himself, and yet refuses to allow those to eat who can."
The fox and the goat. A fox one day fell into a deep well and could find no means of escape. A goat, overcome with thirst, came to the same well, and seeing the fox, inquired if the water was good. Concealing his sad plight under a merry guise, the fox indulged in a lavish praise of the water, saying it was excellent beyond measure, and encouraging him to descend. The goat, mindful only of his thirst, thoughtlessly jumped down, but just as he drank, the fox informed him of the difficulty they were both in, and suggested a scheme for their common escape.
"If," he said, "you will place your forefeet upon the wall and bend your head, I will run up your back and escape, and will help you out afterwards."
The goat readily assented, and the fox leaped upon his back. Steadying himself with the goat's horns, he safely reached the mouth of the well and made off as fast as he could. When the goat upbraided him for breaking his promise, he turned around and cried out,
"You foolish old fellow! If you had as many brains in your head as you have hairs in your beard, you would never have gone down before you inspected the way up, nor have exposed yourself to dangers from which you had no means of escape.
Look before you leap." The Bear and the Two Travelers. Two men were traveling together when a bear suddenly met them on their path. One of them climbed up quickly into a tree and concealed himself in the branches. The other, seeing that he must be attacked, fell flat on the ground, and when the bear came up and felt him with his snout and smelt him all over, he held his breath and feigned the appearance of death as much as he could. The bear soon left him, for it is said he will not touch a dead body. When he was quite gone, the other traveler descended from the tree and jocularly inquired of his friend what it was the bear had whispered in his ear.
"He gave me this advice," his companion replied. "Never travel with a friend who deserts you at the approach of danger.
Misfortune tests the sincerity of friends." The Oxen and the Axle Trees. A heavy wagon was being dragged along a country lane by a team of oxen. The axle trees groaned and creaked terribly, whereupon the oxen, turning round, thus addressed the wheels.
"Hello there! Why do you make so much noise? We bear all the labor, and we, not you, ought to cry out."
Those who suffer most cry out the least. The Thirsty Pigeon. A pigeon, oppressed by excessive thirst, saw a goblet of water painted on a signboard. Not supposing it to be only a picture, she flew towards it with a loud whir and unwittingly dashed against the signboard, jarring herself terribly. Having broken her wings by the blow, she fell to the ground and was caught by one of the bystanders. Zeal should not outrun discretion. The Oxen and the Butchers. The oxen once upon a time sought to destroy the butchers, who practiced a trade destructive to their race. They assembled on a certain day to carry out their purpose and sharpened their horns for the contest. But one of them, who was exceedingly old, for many a field he had plowed, thus spoke,
"These butchers, it is true, slaughter us, but they do so with skillful hands and with no unnecessary pain. If we got rid of them, we shall fall into the hands of unskillful operators, and thus suffer a double death. For you may be assured that though the butchers should perish, yet will men want beef."
Do not be in a hurry to change one evil for another. The Lion, the Mouse, and the Fox. A lion, fatigued by the heat of a summer's day, fell fast asleep in his den. A mouse ran over his mane and ears and woke him from his slumbers. He rose up and shook himself in great wrath and searched every corner of his den to find the mouse. A fox, seeing him, said,
"A fine lion you are to be frightened of a mouse."
"'Tis not the mouse I fear," said the lion. "I resent his familiarity and ill-breeding.
Little liberties are great offenses." The Vain Jackdaw. Jupiter determined, it is said, to create a sovereign over the birds, and made proclamation on a certain day that they should all present themselves before him, when he would himself choose the most beautiful among them to be king. The jackdaw,
knowing of his ugliness, searched through the woods and fields and collected the feathers which had fallen from the wings of his companions and stuck them in all parts of his body, hoping thereby to make himself the most beautiful of all. When the appointed day arrived and the birds had assembled before Jupiter, the jackdaw also made his appearance in his many-feathered finery. But when Jupiter proposed to make him king because of the beauty of his plumage, the birds indignantly protested, and each plucked from him his own feathers, leaving the jackdaw nothing but a jackdaw. The goatherd and the wild goats. A goat, driving his flock from their pasture at eventide, found some wild goats mingling among them, and shut them up together with his own for the night. The next day it snowed very hard, so that he could not take the herd to their usual feeding places, but was obliged to keep them in the fold. He gave his own goats just sufficient food to keep them alive, but fed the strangers more abundantly, in the hope of enticing them to stay with him and making them his own. When the thaw set in, he led them all out to feed, and the wild goats scampered away as fast as they could to the mountains. The goatherd scolded them for their ingratitude in leaving him when, during the storm, he had taken more care of them than of his own herd. One of them, turning about, said to him, "That is the very reason why we are so cautious. For if you yesterday treated us better than the goats you have had so long, it is plain also that if others came after us, you would in the same manner prefer them to ourselves." Old friends cannot with impunity be sacrificed for new ones. The Mischievous Dog. A dog used to run up quietly to the heels of everyone he met, and to bite them without notice. His master suspended a bell around his neck so that the dog might give notice of his presence wherever he went. Thinking it a mark of distinction, the dog grew proud of his bell and went tinkling it all over the marketplace. One day an old hound said to him, "Why do you make such an exhibition of yourself? That bell that you carry is not, believe me, any order of merit, but on the contrary a mark of disgrace, a public notice to all men to avoid you as an ill-mannered dog." Notoriety is often mistaken for fame. The Fox Who Had Lost His Tail. A fox caught in a trap escaped, but in so doing lost his tail. Thereafter, feeling his life a burden from the shame and ridicule to which he was exposed, he schemed to convince all the other foxes that being tailless was much more attractive, thus making up for his own deprivation. He assembled a good many foxes and publicly advised them to cut off their tails, saying that they would not only look much better without them, but that they would get rid of the weight of the brush, which was a very great inconvenience. One of them, interrupting him, said, "If you had not yourself lost your tail, my friend, you would not thus counsel us." The Boy and the Nettles. A boy was stung by a nettle. He ran home and told his mother, saying, "Although it hurts me very much, I only touched it gently." "That is why it stung you," said his mother. "The next time you touch a nettle, grasp it boldly, and it will be soft as silk in your hand, and not in the least hurt you. Whatever you do, do with all your might." The Man and His Two Sweethearts. A middle-aged man, whose hair had begun to turn gray, courted two women at the same time. One of them was young, and the other well advanced in years. The elder woman, ashamed to be courted by a man younger than herself, made a point, whenever her admirer visited her, to pull out some portion of his black hairs. The younger, on the contrary, not wishing to become the wife of an old man, was equally zealous in removing every gray hair she could find. Thus it came to pass that between them both, he very soon found that he had not a hair left on his head. Those who seek to please everybody please nobody. The Ass, the Cock, and the Lion. An ass and a cock were in a straw yard together when a lion, desperate from hunger, approached the spot. He was about to spring upon the ass when the cock, to the sound of whose voice the lion, it is said, has a singular aversion, crowed loudly, and the lion fled away as fast as he could. The ass, observing his trepidation at the mere crowing of a cock, summoned courage to attack him, and galloped after him for that purpose. He had run no long distance when the lion turned about, seized him, and tore him to pieces. False confidence often leads into danger. The Mice and the Weasels. The weasels and the mice waged a perpetual war with each other in which much blood was shed. The weasels were always the victors. The mice thought that the cause of their frequent defeats was that they had no leaders set apart from the general army to command them, and that they were exposed to dangers from lack of discipline. They therefore chose as leaders mice that were most renowned for their family descent, strength, and counsel, as well as those most noted for their courage in the fight, so that they might be better marshaled in battle array, and formed into troops, regiments, and battalions. When all this was done and the army disciplined, and the herald mouse had duly proclaimed war by challenging the weasels, the newly chosen generals bound their heads with straws, that they might be more conspicuous to all their troops. Scarcely had the battle begun when a great rout overwhelmed the mice, who scampered off as fast as they could to their holes. The generals, not being able to get in on account of the ornaments on their heads, were all captured and eaten by the weasels. The more honor, the more danger. The mice in council. The mice summoned a council to decide how they might best devise a means of warning themselves of the approach of their great enemy, the cat. Among the many plans suggested, the one that found most favor was the proposal to tie a bell to the neck of the cat, so that the mice, being warned by the sound of the tinkling, might run away and hide themselves in their holes at his approach. But when the mice further debated who among them should thus bell the cat, there was no one found to do it. The Wolf and the House Dog. A wolf, meeting a big, well-fed mastiff with a wooden collar about his neck, asked him who it was that fed him so well and yet compelled him to drag about that heavy log wherever he went. "The master," he replied. Then said the wolf, "May no friend of mine ever be in such a plight, for the weight of this chain is enough to spoil the appetite." The Rivers and the Sea. The rivers joined together to complain to the sea, saying, "Why is it that when we flow into your tide so potable and sweet, you work in us such a change and make us salty and unfit to drink?" The sea, perceiving that they intended to throw the blame on him, said, "Pray cease to flow into me, and then you will not be made briny." The Playful Ass. An ass climbed up to the roof of a building, and frisking about there, broke in the tiling. The owner went up after him and quickly drove him down, beating him severely with a thick wooden cudgel. The ass said, "Why, I saw the monkey do this very thing yesterday, and you all laughed heartily, as if it afforded you very great amusement." The ass carrying the image. An ass once carried through the streets of a city a famous wooden image, to be placed in one of its temples. As he passed along, the crowd made lowly prostration before the image. The ass, thinking that they had bowed their heads in token of respect for him, bristled up with pride, giving himself airs, and refused to move another step. The driver, seeing him thus stop, laid his whip lustily about his shoulders and said, "Oh, you perverse dullhead, it is not yet come to this, that men pray worship to an ass. They are not wise who give to themselves the credit due to others." The Three Tradesmen. A great city was besieged, and its inhabitants were called together to consider the best means of protecting it from the enemy. A bricklayer earnestly recommended bricks as affording the best material for an effective resistance. A carpenter, with equal enthusiasm, proposed timber as a preferable method of defense, upon which a courier stood up and said, "Sirs, I differ from you altogether. There is no material for resistance equal to covering of hides, and nothing so good as leather. Every man for himself." The Dolphins, the Whales, and the Sprat. The dolphins and whales waged a fierce war with each other. When the battle was at its height, a sprat lifted its head out of the waves and said that he would reconcile their differences if they would accept him as an umpire. One of the dolphins replied, "We would far rather be destroyed in our battle with each other than admit any interference from you in our affairs." The Two Travelers and the Axe. Two men were journeying together. One of them picked up an axe that lay upon the path and said, "I have found an axe." "Nay, my friend," replied the other, "do not say I, say we have found an axe." They had not gone far before they saw the owner of the axe pursuing them. And he who had picked up the axe said, "We are undone." "Nay," replied the other,
Keep to your first mode of speech, my friend, that you thought right then. Think right now. Say, I, not we, are undone. He who shares the danger ought to share the prize. The Old Hound. A hound, who in the days of his youth and strength had never yielded to any beast of the forest, encountered in his old age a boar in the chase. He seized him boldly by the ear, but could not retain his hold because of the decay of his teeth, so that the boar escaped. His master, quickly coming up, was very much disappointed and fiercely abused the dog. The hound looked up and said, "It was not my fault, master. My spirit was as good as ever, but I could not help my infirmities. I would rather deserve to be praised for what I have been than to be blamed for what I am." The Bee and Jupiter. A bee from Mount Hymettus, the queen of the hive, ascended to Olympus to present Jupiter some honey fresh from her combs. Jupiter, delighted with the offering of honey, promised to give whatever she would ask. She therefore besought him, saying, "Give me, I pray thee, a sting, that if any mortal shall approach to take my honey, I may kill him." Jupiter was much displeased, for he loved the race of man, but could not refuse the request because of his promise. He thus answered the bee, "You shall have your request, but it will be at the peril of your own life. For if you use your sting, it shall remain in the wound you make, and then you will die from the loss of it." Evil wishes, like chickens, come home to roost. The Milkwoman and Her Pail. A farmer's daughter was carrying her pail of milk from the field to the farmhouse when she fell a musing. "The money for which this milk will be sold will buy at least 300 eggs. The eggs, allowing for all mishaps, will produce 250 chickens. The chickens will become ready for the market when poultry will fetch the highest price, so that by the end of the year I shall have money enough for my share to buy a new gown. In this dress I will go to the Christmas parties where all the young fellows will propose to me, but I will toss my head and refuse every one." At this moment she tossed her head in unison with her thoughts, when down fell the milk pail to the ground, and all her imaginary schemes perished in a moment. The Seaside Travelers. Some travelers, journeying along the seashore, climbed to the summit of a tall cliff, and looking over the sea, saw in the distance what they thought was a large ship. They waited in the hope of seeing it enter the harbor, but as the object on which they looked was driven nearer to the shore by the wind, they found that it could at most be a small boat, and not a ship. When, however, it reached the beach, they discovered that it was only a large faggot of sticks, and one of them said to his companions, "We have waited for no purpose, for after all there is nothing to see but a load of wood." Our mere anticipations of life outrun its realities.
The Wolf and the Fox. At one time, a very large and strong wolf was born among the wolves, who exceeded all his fellow wolves in strength, size, and swiftness, so that they unanimously decided to call him Lion. The wolf, with a lack of sense proportioned to his enormous size, thought that they gave him this name in earnest, and leaving his own race, consorted exclusively with the lions. An old sly fox, seeing this, said, "May I never make myself so ridiculous as you do in your pride and self-conceit. For even though you have the size of a lion among wolves, in a herd of lions you are definitely a wolf." The Walnut Tree. A walnut tree standing by the roadside bore an abundant crop of fruit. For the sake of the nuts, the passers-by broke its branches with stones and sticks. The walnut tree piteously exclaimed, "O wretched me! That those whom I cheer with my fruit should repay me with these painful requitals." The Gnat and the Lion. A gnat came and said to a lion, "I do not in the least fear you, nor are you stronger than I am. For in what does your strength consist? You can scratch with your claws and bite with your teeth on a woman in her quarrels. I repeat that I am altogether more powerful than you. And if you doubt it, let us fight and see who will conquer." The gnat, having sounded his horn, fastened himself upon the lion and stung him on the nostrils and the parts of the face devoid of hair. While trying to crush him, the lion tore himself with his claws until he punished himself severely. The gnat thus prevailed over the lion, and buzzing about in a song of triumph, flew away. But shortly afterwards, he became entangled in the meshes of a cobweb and was eaten by a spider. He greatly lamented his fate, saying, "Woe is me that I, who can wage war successfully with the hugest beasts, should perish myself from this spider, the most inconsiderable of insects." The Monkey and the Dolphin. A sailor bound on a long voyage took with him a monkey to amuse him while on shipboard. As he sailed off the coast of Greece, a violent tempest arose, in which the ship was wrecked, and he, his monkey, and all the crew were obliged to swim for their lives. A dolphin saw the monkey contending with the waves, and supposing him to be a man, whom he is always said to befriend, came and placed himself under him to convey him on his back in safety to the shore. When the dolphin arrived with his burden in sight of land, not far from Athens, he asked the monkey if he were an Athenian. The latter replied that he was, and that he was descended from one of the most noble families in that city. The dolphin then inquired if he knew the Piraeus, the famous harbor of Athens. Supposing that a man was meant, the monkey answered that he knew him very well, and that he was an intimate friend. The dolphin, indignant at these falsehoods, dipped the monkey under the water and drowned him. The Jackdaw and the Doves. A jackdaw, seeing some doves in a cot, abundantly provided with food, painted himself white, and joined them in order to share their plentiful maintenance. The doves, as long as he was silent, supposed him to be one of themselves, and admitted him to their cot. But when one day he forgot himself, and began to chatter, they discovered his true character, and drove him forth, pecking him with their beaks. Failing to obtain food among the doves, he returned to the jackdaws. They, too, not recognizing him on account of his color, expelled him from living with them. So desiring two ends, he obtained neither. The Horse and the Stag. At one time the horse had the plain entirely to himself. Then a stag intruded into his domain and shared his pasture. The horse, desiring to revenge himself on the stranger, asked a man if he were willing to help him in punishing the stag. The man replied that if the horse would receive a bit in his mouth and agree to carry him, he would contrive effective weapons against the stag. The horse consented, and allowed the man to mount him. From that hour, he found that instead of obtaining revenge on the stag, he had enslaved himself to the service of man. The Kid and the Wolf. A kid, returning without protection from the pasture, was pursued by a wolf. Seeing he could not escape, he turned around and said, "I know, friend Wolf, that I must be your prey, but before I die, I would ask of you one favor. You will play me a tune to which I may dance." The wolf complied, and while he was piping and the kid was dancing, some hounds, hearing the sound, ran up and began chasing the wolf. Turning to the kid, he said, "It is just what I deserve, for I, who am only a butcher, should not have turned piper to please you." The Prophet. A wizard, sitting in the marketplace, was telling the fortunes of the passers-by, when a person ran up in great haste and announced to him that the doors of his house had been broken open and that all his goods were being stolen. He sighed heavily and hastened away as fast as he could run. A neighbor saw him running and said, "Oh, you fellow there, you say you can foretell the fortunes of others. How is it that you did not foresee your own?" The Fox and the Monkey. A fox and a monkey were traveling together on the same road. As they journeyed, they passed through a cemetery full of monuments. "All these monuments which you see," said the monkey, "are erected in honor of my ancestors, who were in their day freedmen and citizens of great renown." The fox replied, "You have chosen a most appropriate subject for your falsehoods, as I am sure none of your ancestors will be able to contradict you." A false tale often betrays itself. The Thief and the House Dog. A thief came in the night to break into a house. He brought with him several slices of meat in order to pacify the house dog so that he would not alarm the master by barking. As the thief threw him the pieces of meat, the dog said, "If you think to stop my mouth, you will be greatly mistaken. This sudden kindness at your hands will only make me more watchful, lest under these unexpected favors to myself you have some private ends to accomplish for your own benefit and for my master's injury. The Man, the Horse, the Ox, and the Dog. A horse, ox, and dog, driven to great straits by the cold, sought shelter and protection from man. He received them kindly, lighted a fire, and warmed them. He let the horse make free with his oats, gave the ox an abundance of hay, and fed the dog with meat from his own table. Grateful for these favors, the animals determined to repay him to the best of their ability. For this purpose they divided the term of his life between them, and each endowed one portion of it with the qualities which chiefly characterized himself. The horse chose his earliest years, and gave them his own attributes. Hence every man in his youth, impetuous, headstrong, and obstinate in maintaining his own opinion. The ox took under his patronage the next term of life, and therefore man in his middle age is fond of work, devoted to labor, and resolute to amass wealth and to husband his resources. The end of life was reserved for the dog, wherefore the old man is often snappish, irritable, hard to please, and selfish, tolerant only of his own household, but averse to strangers and to all who do not administer to his comfort or to his necessities. The Apes and the Two Travelers. Two men, one who always spoke the truth and the other who told nothing but lies, were traveling together and by chance came to the land of apes. One of the apes, who had raised himself to be king, commanded them to be seized and brought before him, that he might know what was said of him among men. He ordered at the same time that all the apes be arranged in a long row on his right hand and on his left, and that a throne be placed for him, as was the custom among men. After these preparations, he signified that the two men should be brought before him, and greeted them with this salutation.
"What sort of a king do I seem to you to be, O strangers?"
The lying traveler replied,
"You seem to be a most mighty king."
"And what is your estimate of those you see around me?"
"These," he made answer, "are worthy companions of yourself, fit at least to be ambassadors and leaders of armies."
The ape and all his court, gratified with the lie, commanded that a handsome present be given to the flatterer. On this, the truthful traveler thought to himself,
"If so great a reward be given for a lie, with what gift may not I be rewarded, if, according to my custom, I tell the truth?"
The ape quickly turned to him.
"And pray how do I and these friends around me seem to you?"
"Thou art," he said, "a most excellent ape, and all these thy companions after thy example are excellent apes too."
The king of the apes, enraged at hearing these truths, gave him over to the teeth and claws of his companions. The Wolf and the Shepherd. A wolf followed a flock of sheep for a long time, and did not attempt to injure one of them. The shepherd at first stood on his guard against him, as against an enemy, and kept a strict watch over his movements. But when the wolf, day after day, kept in the company of the sheep and did not make the slightest effort to seize them, the shepherd began to look upon him as a guardian of his flock, rather than as a plotter of evil against it. And when occasion called him one day into the city, he left the sheep entirely in his charge. The wolf, now that he had an opportunity, fell upon the sheep and destroyed the greater part of the flock. When the shepherd returned to find his flock destroyed, he exclaimed, "Oh, I have been rightly served. Why did I trust my sheep to a wolf?" The Hares and the Lions. The hares harangued the assembly and argued that they should all be equal. The lions made this reply,
"Your words, O hares, are good, but they lack both claws and teeth such as we have."
The Lark and Her Young Ones. A lark had made her nest in the early spring on the young green wheat. The brood had almost grown to their full strength and attained the use of their wings and the full plumage of their feathers, when the owner of the field, looking over his ripe crop, said,
"The time has come when I must ask all my neighbors to help me with my harvest."
One of the young larks heard his speech and related it to his mother, inquiring of her what place they should move for safety.
"There is no occasion to move yet, my son," she replied.
The man who only sends to his friends to help him with his harvest is not really in earnest. The owner of the field came again a few days later and saw the wheat shedding the grain from excessive ripeness. He said, "Oh, I will come myself tomorrow with my laborers and with as many reapers as I can hire, and will get in the harvest." The lark, on hearing these words, said to her brood, "It is time now to be off, my little ones, for the man is in earnest this time. He no longer trusts his friends, but will reap the field himself." Self-help is the best help. The Fox and the Lion. When a fox who had never yet seen a lion fell in with him by chance for the first time in the forest, he was so frightened that he nearly died with fear. On meeting him for the second time, he was still much alarmed, but not to the same extent as at first. On seeing him the third time, he so increased in boldness that he went up to him and commenced a familiar conversation with him. Acquaintance softens prejudices. The Weasel and the Mice. A weasel, inactive from age and infirmities, was not able to catch mice as he once did. He therefore rolled himself in flour and lay down in a dark corner. A mouse, supposing him to be food, leaped upon him and was instantly caught and squeezed to death. Another perished in a similar manner, and then a third, and still others after them. A very old mouse, who had escaped many a trap and snare, observed from a safe distance the trick of his crafty foe, and said, "Ah, you that lie there, may you prosper just in the same proportion as you are what you pretend to be." The Boy Bathing. A boy bathing in a river was in danger of being drowned. He called out to a passing traveler for help, but instead of holding out a helping hand, the man stood by unconcernedly and scolded the boy for his imprudence. "Oh, sir," cried the youth, "pray help me now and scold me afterwards." Counsel without help is useless. The Ass and the Wolf. An ass feeding in a meadow saw a wolf approaching to seize him, and immediately pretended to be lame. The wolf, coming up, inquired the cause of his lameness. The ass replied that passing through a hedge, he had trod with his foot upon a sharp thorn. He requested that the wolf pull it out, lest when he ate him it should injure his throat. The wolf consented, and lifted up the foot, and was giving his whole mind to the discovery of the thorn, when the ass, with his heels, kicked his teeth into his mouth and galloped away. The wolf, being thus fearfully mauled, said, "Oh, I am rightly served. For why did I attempt the art of healing, when my father only taught me the trade of a butcher?" The Seller of Images. A certain man made a wooden image of Mercury and offered it for sale. When no one appeared willing to buy it, in order to attract purchasers, he cried out that he had the statue to sell of a benefactor who bestowed wealth and helped to heap up riches. One of the bystanders said to him, "My good fellow, why do you sell him, being such a one as you describe, when you may yourself enjoy the good things he has to give?" "Why," he replied, "I am in need of immediate help, and he is wont to give his good gifts very slowly." The Fox and the Grapes. A famished fox saw some clusters of ripe black grapes hanging from a trellised vine. She resorted to all her tricks to get at them, but wearied herself in vain, for she could not reach them. At last she turned away, hiding her disappointment, and saying, "The grapes are sour and not ripe as I thought." The Man and His Wife. A man had a wife who made herself hated by all the members of his household. Wishing to find out if she had the same effect on the persons in her father's house, he made some excuse to send her home on a visit to her father. After a short time she returned, and when he inquired how she had got on, and how the servants had treated her, she replied, "The herdsmen and shepherds cast on me looks of aversion." He said, "Oh, wife, if you were disliked by those who go out early in the morning with their flocks, and return late in the evening, what must have been felt towards you by those with whom you passed the whole day?" The Peacock and Juno. The peacock made complaint to Juno that while the nightingale pleased every ear with his song, he himself no sooner opened his mouth than he became a laughing stock to all who heard him. The goddess, to console him, said, "But you far excel in beauty and in size. The splendor of the emerald shines in your neck, and you unfold a tail gorgeous with painted plumage." "But for what purpose have I," said the bird, "this dumb beauty, so long as I am surpassed in song?" "The lot of each," replied Juno, "has been assigned by the will of the fates. To thee, beauty. To the eagle, strength. To the nightingale, song. To the raven, favorable. And to the crow, unfavorable auguries. These are all contented with the endowments allotted to them." The Hawk and the Nightingale. A nightingale, sitting aloft upon an oak, and singing according to his wont, was seen by a hawk, who, being in need of food, swooped down and seized him. The nightingale, about to lose his life, earnestly begged the hawk to let him go, saying that he was not big enough to satisfy the hunger of a hawk, who, if he wanted food, ought to pursue the larger birds. The hawk, interrupting him, said, "I should indeed have lost my senses if I should let go food ready in my hand for the sake of pursuing birds which are not yet even within sight." The Dog, the Cock, and the Fox. A dog and a cock, being great friends, agreed to travel together. At nightfall they took shelter in a thick wood. The cock, flying up, perched himself on the branches of a tree, while the dog found a bed beneath in the hollow trunk. When the morning dawned, the cock, as usual, crowed very loudly several times. A fox heard the sound, and wishing to make a breakfast on him, came and stood under the branches, saying how earnestly he desired to make the acquaintance of the owner of so magnificent a voice. The cock, suspecting his civilities, said, "Sir, I wish you would do me the favor of going around to the hollow trunk below me, and waking my porter, so that he may open the door and let you in." When the fox approached the tree, the dog sprang out and caught him and tore him to pieces. The Wolf and the Goat. A wolf saw a goat feeding at the summit of a steep precipice, where he had no chance of reaching her. He called to her and earnestly begged her to come lower down, lest she fall by some mishap, and he added that the meadows lay where he was standing and the herbage was most tender. She replied, "No, my friend, it is not for the pasture that you invite me, but for yourself, who are in want of food." The Lion and the Bull. A lion, greatly desiring to capture a bull, and yet afraid to attack him on account of his great size, resorted to a trick to ensure his destruction. He approached the bull and said, "I have slain a fine sheep, my friend, and if you will come home and partake of him with me, I shall be delighted to have your company." The lion said this in the hope that as the bull was in the act of reclining to eat, he might attack him to advantage, and make his meal on him. The bull, on approaching the lion's den, saw the huge spits and giant cauldrons, and no sign whatever of the sheep, and without saying a word, quietly took his departure. The lion inquired why he went off so abruptly without a word of salutation to his host, who had not given him any cause for offense.
"I have reasons enough," said the bull. "I see no indication whatever of you having slaughtered a sheep, while I do see very plainly every preparation for your dining on a bull."
The Goat and the Ass. A man once kept a goat and an ass. The goat, envying the ass on account of his greater abundance of food, said, "How shamefully you are treated, at one time grinding in the mill, and at another carrying heavy burdens." And he further advised him to pretend to be epileptic and fall into a ditch and so obtain rest. The ass listened to his words and, falling into a ditch, was very much bruised. His master, sending for a leech, asked his advice. He bade him pour upon the wounds the lungs of a goat. They at once killed the goat, and so healed the ass. The Town Mouse and the Country Mouse. A country mouse invited a town mouse, an intimate friend, to pay him a visit and partake of his country fare. As they were on the bare ploughlands, eating their wheat stalks and roots pulled up from the hedgerow, the town mouse said to his friend, "You live here with the life of the ants, while in my house is the horn of plenty. I am surrounded by every luxury, and if you will come with me, as I wish you would, you shall have an ample share of my dainties." The country mouse was easily persuaded, and returned to town with his friend. On his arrival, the town mouse placed before him bread, barley, beans, dried figs, honey, raisins, and last of all brought a dainty piece of cheese from a basket. The country mouse, being much delighted at the sight of such good cheer, expressed his satisfaction in warm terms, and lamented his own hard fate. Just as they were beginning to eat, someone opened the door, and they both ran off squeaking as fast as they could to a hole so narrow that two could only find room in it by squeezing. They had scarcely begun their repast again when someone else entered to take something out of a cupboard, whereupon the two mice, more frightened than before, ran away and hid themselves. At last the country mouse, almost famished, said to his friend, "Oh, although you've prepared me for so dainty a feast, I must leave you to enjoy it by yourself. It is surrounded by too many dangers to please me. I prefer my bare ploughlands and roots from the hedgerow, where I can live in safety and without fear." The Wolf, the Fox, and the Ape. A wolf accused a fox of theft, but the fox entirely denied the charge. An ape undertook to adjudge the matter between them. When each had fully stated his case, the ape announced this sentence: "I do not think you, wolf, ever lost what you claim, and I do believe you, fox, to have stolen what you so stoutly deny." The dishonest, if they act honestly, get no credit.